This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Yes, I love that. Whew, very exciting. So in John chapter 15, it talks about the true vine. And I know I've talked about this before. We have a sign Eric and Kisha gave us many years ago. And it says, you are the vine. And it has a scripture on there. That's in our bedroom. I love that sign. Hangs on the wall in there. Reminds us to be connected daily to Christ. Amen? Sorry, guys. You know, I really feel better. It sounds better most of the day, but not always. I apologize. I'm ready to rid myself of this thing. Okay, I give up. Not really. The dictionary, when it talks about abide, the dictionary says to remain or to continue or to stay, to dwell or to reside. And as we read the scripture, I want us to think about a couple of these things. The Old Testament talks about abiding. It says yashab. It adds in, listen carefully, it adds in an element or a concept of interpersonal relationship. Something more intimate. And it talks about that way with God, that we want to be more intimate with God. We don't want to just be here, but we want to be with Him. We want to spend time with Him and not just around Him. To abide says it's an active thing. It's an intentional thing. When we want to abide with somebody or with something or in a place, it's intentional. It takes some effort. It's active. I have to go and I have to abide over here. I have to abide with so-and-so. I have to choose to be there and stay there. So I want us to think about a couple things in reference to abide. And it has to do with abiding with Christ is talking about a connection, number one. Number two, a dependence on Christ. But number three is a part I really love. And it talks about a continuance with Christ. When I got to know Christ, I made a connection. And right then there was a dependence on Him. But over time, I grew in knowledge and wisdom, and I walked away so that I could walk in my own strength. That's not what it says. It says you are to have a continuance with Him. In the song it says, for my daily bread, for my walking breath, I depend on You. We have to rely on Him daily. Hope I don't get these backwards, Kisha. And then it says, when I pass through death. But listen carefully. When you pass through death, you enter rest. And while we're here on earth, we have rest in Him. It's not a thing that we get by sleeping 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. It's a rest in Him, knowing that we are in His hands. Even when we go through things, even when we're on the boat and the waves are rocking the boat, we can enter rest in His presence with a connection through Him and a dependence on Him. All right, let's read John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. And we don't have a lot of scripture today we're reading. We're going to dissect this thing just a little bit. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, let me stop there for just a minute. We've talked before about this scripture. And it says, even if you bear fruit, at times He will prune you. Eric, I remember your message some time ago, and I've shared it with people at work. And it had to do with when you're growing, you feel that digging and you feel a certain amount of fertilizer, if you will, needed to grow. We have to go through stuff. And it says, even when we are growing and producing fruit, He's going to come in our life and prune us. Adam, you were bearing some fruit there, but remember when you kind of walked away from that continuance of me? I had to prune you a little bit back then. Remember that? Yeah, it kind of hurt a little bit. It stung just a little bit. He takes away those that do not bear fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, every branch, he prunes them. How much or how little? That's up to him and up to you. But it does say he prunes every branch that bears fruit. It's important that we remember that. You are already clean because of the word. Church, it's important. I've said it for the last several weeks that we've got to get in the word. We've got to start studying that, learning that, knowing that. And it says you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You talked about even being plugged in, Kisha. And sometimes if we're not close to that source, that power that's, if we were right next to it on a short cord and a fat power cord, you ever have the cheap jumper cables? No, I know why, because they're all at my house. Okay, but on the cheap jumper cables, and they've got like a strand of wire going through it, and you touch it and it scorches your hand, and it takes 5 hours to charge a battery that's barely dead. And then you get those real men. They got the welding cables and the big clips. You barely touch it, boom, it fires right up. It's the same thing. That has to do with our connectivity to Christ. Are we in close proximity to him? We'll get to that in just a minute. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But remember, in a few verses ahead, every branch that bears fruit, he will prune. So he says, if you're connected to me, you're going to bear fruit. And because of that, I'm going to prune you. Because why? I want to make you the most beautiful and the most fruit-bearing thing that there is. And sometimes that takes pruning. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Think about branches in your life that were disconnected, that have dried up and withered up, and they're of no use anymore. They don't bear fruit. And Jesus is telling them, if you're not in me and you don't abide in me, you'll be cast out and you'll be withered up. You'll be gathered together and you'll be thrown into fire. And they are burned. Now, verse 7. I want us to pay close attention to these two verses, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And I love this part. A couple weeks ago when I was talking, I said, it's not enough to be near him. I want to be close to Jesus. That's great. But it's not enough. Verse 7 is twofold. It says, if you abide in me. So it says, you have to be close to me. Dwell with me. Spend some time with me. But listen to the other part. And my words abide in you. We have to know what he says. It's not enough to be near him. We have to know what his character is, what his commandments are, what he asks of us, the examples that he has given us. Christ-like living. Let my words live in you and through you. Christ-like living and a Christ-like life with Christ-like character and Christ-like language. It is not enough, Christians. I told Christian, I'm going to say that during there. Don't think I'm talking to you. It's not enough, Christians, to just be near Him. He said, you can be near me, but you're producing small amounts of fruit. You have to be like me, like-minded, seeking His will. It's not enough just to be in His presence. And when I say it's not enough, man, when you're in His presence and you're open to His presence, I mean, if I'm here, I'm in His presence. If I'm across the street, I'm in His presence. If I'm 5 miles away, I am in His presence. And if I'm open to Him in His presence, that is, He can work wonders. But did we leave the door open? I showed up. I'm in His presence. I'm even in His house. Now, when will it be over? I think my stomach's growling. We better hurry up, man. I hope he's not long. You get what I'm saying? It's not enough just to say, I'm here in His presence. I'm here in His house. Are you doing His will? Are you doing His work? He's looking for His word, His character to be in us. And not just on Sundays. And not just in the presence of our church friends. All our knowledge and our prophesying and our memorizing scriptures. That doesn't mean anything if we don't have the love of Christ in us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, just $1 bills, I'm not that rich. But if we pull out our money and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That stuff's all fine and dandy. But when we walk out there and treat our brothers and sisters without the love of Christ. Oh, he threw the love of Christ. So let's be careful. When we're disciplining, are we doing it with a spirit of love and gentleness? Or are we doing it with an authoritative thing because I'm over you? You see, church, it profits us nothing. If we don't have the love of Christ. But one thing further in verse 2 says, I am nothing. Without that little four-letter word, love, it profits us nothing and we are nothing. Without love, and in weddings, a lot of times we get into that other thing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And it bears all things. And it believes all things. And it hopes all things and endures all things. That little four-letter word, love. Love never fails. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. We've got to remember the twofold aspect here in verse 7. If you abide in me, that means be close to him. And my words abide in you. Oh, so now we have a more intimate thing. Because now what he has spoken to us and his word and his words, now they're in us. They're a part of us. They're ingrained in us. And when we set out to do things and say things, we may start thinking twice. He doesn't want me to do this. How do you know? Well, I just had a conversation with him. I want to say this, but he told me to keep my tongue, hold my tongue, because it doesn't need to be said. Or at least not right now, and maybe not by me. This is a simple verse, and it simply says, abide in me. Spend time with me. Take action to be with me. Make it intentional to be with me. But it's not enough Christians to just be in his house. Change can happen there, but he desires more for us and from us. I'll close with these two things. And I love this verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And I love that. That's Jesus speaking. I've said these things to you so that my joy can be in you and have it forever. But not just have it, but have it to the full. Church, let's abide in him. Let's abide in his word so that we can experience his joy. And his joy is greater and fuller than the joy we get from ourselves. And the second thing, it's time for the church to get busy. It's time for us to get up off it, get out in it, get on through it, and get down to it. And yes, I came up with that all on my own. But I thought about it. It's true. We got to get up off it and get busy. We've got to get out in it, beyond the four walls. We've got to get on through it, whatever we're going through. He says, break down those walls. Break down those barriers. Break them down. How? I've given you the power when I went to the cross to be an overcomer. And then it's time to get down to it. Amen. Let's bow our heads.